I'm reading from Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
Good morning. It's a warm morning, right, for February. Extremely warm, just a little bit soupy. Little soupy, but I hope nobody had any flood damage. At least it's kind of rained steadily, and I know things have been up, but I hope nobody's had flooding issues as we've had a considerable amount of rain. But it beats the drought, right? Beats the drought. I woke up early this morning, and the song in my head was a song that was popular back in the 80s with some of the gospel groups about it won't be water but fire next time. It's going to rain, it's going to rain. You better be ready. Bear this in mind. God showed old Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water but fire next time. So I knew we weren't going to get flooded out. Everything's going to be all right. But it does remind us to be ready. To be ready. We're going to talk about repentance today. And just really an important topic. And I think we ought to need to lay again this groundwork that Houston read for us from the scripture, because this principle is just a truth. Okay? This is just a truth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Reaping or sowing and reaping is just a fact. Now, we're a little bit away from planting seeds. But if you're a big gardener, and the folks I used to do the garden, they were in their burpee catalog really heavy now, getting the seeds ready, because planting time is coming quickly, right? And you're going to plant, and if the seeds are right, you're going to harvest, hopefully, what you've planted, right? Nobody says radish seeds are really cheap. I want to have okra and corn and peas and beans and squash and cucumbers in my garden. And so I'm going to put out these rows, and I'm going to put little signs on the end of the rows for corn and squash. And, you know, I know you heal squash and cucumbers, but beans and peas. But the radish seeds are cheap. So I'm going to plant all radish seeds. But if I put the right label at the end of the row, hopefully it's going to come up beans. And it's silly, right? You just wouldn't do that, because that's not what's going to happen. But you know, that's sometimes how we live life, isn't it? Sometimes how we live life, we want to reap a harvest of righteousness, but that's not the seeds that we plant. And here's what that verse is saying to us, is God knows. God knows. We're not going to make a mockery of God. God knows. God knows our hearts and our lives. And so, as in Acts 2, as we've talked about over the last few weeks now, and let's get back to where we are. These people knew Jesus existed. Some of these very people had yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." They had seen the sun go dark. They had felt the earthquake. Now Peter's lesson has convinced them, what probably was nagging them anyway, that this man Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Christ, the Son of God, and they had put him to death. And so they asked this ever important question: what can we do? As we talked about last week, the reassuring words of Peter is, there is forgiveness of sins, right? Peter didn't say, y'all have messed up so badly that there is no place for you Just hope others learn from your mistakes. Peter says there is forgiveness of sins. And so they ask this question, what are we going to do now? They are convinced, they are cut to the heart in faith, knowing what they had done, that this man Jesus was the Christ. And not just that they had crucified him, but this man was the Christ and we have denied him, we have missed him. And remember our discussion, for those of you who hadn't been able to be with us, or just as a reminder, that our sin put Jesus on the cross as much as those people who yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so these words of Peter are as relevant to us as they were to them. And so they ask this question, "What shall we do?" And Peter says, "Repent." Peter says, "Repent." CEV, the contemporary English version, isn't it? I was reading the contemporary English version this morning, and it says, "Change your ways." That's pretty good, isn't it? Change your ways. Peter says that great, change your ways. Repentance is about changing our ways. Let's read from Isaiah, because repentance is not just a New Testament concept. In fact, there are lots of verses about repentance in the Old Testament. "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations who do not know you will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." What's Isaiah saying? Is there salvation for them? Yes. Come and eat and drink with no money, right? I like that. Not that I haven't been blessed to be able to eat and drink all of my life, but imagine being hungry and thirsty and not being able to afford food. And Isaiah is saying, I know you've been oppressed, I know you've been in trouble, but you're going to be able to come and eat and drink freely. Josh, Merle Haggard might see, we'll all be drinking that free bubble of and eating that rainbow stew. But in that, which is a great picture, and an accurate picture of God's benevolence and God's love and God's care for his people. But what does he say? Yes, you don't need money. I'm going to pay the price for you. In Acts 2, the price had been paid at Calvary, right? Peter's message to them is not to pay a great price. You know, there's nothing in Peter's message about this great price that they're going to pay, because it's been paid in the Lamb of God. But just as Isaiah said, for the wicked to turn from their wickedness and for the righteous to turn from unrighteousness, Peter says to them, repent. Change your ways. As followers of Jesus, as children of God, Our lives have to be different than the ways of the world. Have to be. They have to be different. Our perspective has to be different. Our way of life has to be different because we're following whom? God, right? And God says, my ways are above your ways and my thoughts are above your thoughts. Are we going to grasp all the thoughts of God? No. No. I don't know how often you just stop and try to think about God. But you're talking about putting your head in a spin. I mean, not that he's not knowable, but just, it's just above, it's above anything I even have a point of reference to. You know, I mean, it's just above a point of reference. But he's called me to seek his ways, and through his word and through his spirit, he's revealed himself to us, right? In Jesus, we see God living in the flesh, right? The answer to that is right. Not only did Jesus come as a sacrifice, but he comes as God in the flesh to show us how God lives. And God has given us his word and his laws and shown us his ways so that we might know how to live. And it is different than the perspective of the world. As I've shared with you before, and I talk about it lots, and we read it. It was our first sermon of the new year. You remember what our first sermon this year was? It was the best sermon you'll hear all year. Because I read the Sermon on the Mount. The teachings of Jesus, right? Just a minute, the ones I struggle with are turning the other cheek. If a man compels you to go with him a mile, go with him too, right? Pray for your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who mistreat you. I don't know about you, but that just does not come naturally to me. But those are the ways of God. To seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be added when in the core of my being, I want to get those things, and yeah, God, I'm going to serve you alongside, but, you know, just certain things man got to have. But Jesus said, seek my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things. Why do you worry? God knows you need these. Don't worry about them. God's going to bless you. That's very different from just the basics of our nature, the very basics of the world, to care for ourselves, right? To always to be about ourselves. It's about Jesus. It's about following God. And so the first lesson that when Peter answers this question, and we know what he's going to say next, and we're going to talk about that next week. He's going to tell him to be baptized, and we're going to talk about it because it's extremely important. But he says, first, repent. Change your ways. Turn from the direction you're going. We cannot come to Jesus and say we're coming in faith and our ways not change. If you love me, Jesus said, what will you do? If you love me, keep my commandments. Right? If you love me, keep my commandments. Guys, Wednesday is Valentine's. Hint, hint, hint. Wednesday is Valentine's. And I don't know how that goes at your house. All of us celebrate those type of things differently. Some of our wives and husbands really like presents and cards and flowers and candy or whatever. Some don't. But here's the deal. I can tell my wife all day that I love her. But if that's never reflected and the way I treat her, and the way I act toward her, she's not unintelligent. She's going to grasp pretty quickly whether I love her or not, right? She's pretty sharp. She might not say she got it, but she will have gotten it. And the reason I say that, it's not enough for me just to say it. That has to somehow be reflected in action, right? Well, the same thing's true if we come to God in faith. It's not just about, yes, I can confess my faith, but does my faith move me to live differently, to keep God's commandments, and to be about His business? At age 12, where is Jesus? He's in the temple. And what does He say when His parents come looking for Him? All distressed. He's 12 years old. Your 12-year-old has been lost for 3 days. What kind of shape are you in? I mean, just put yourself in, you know, you've been scrambling around through all the family and friends. Where is He? Where is He? Where is He? He's not. And so you go back to this city that you don't know all that well, and you're looking everywhere. And you find Him in the temple at 12 years old, and His response is, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? He's not being disrespectful. It's not a smart aleck answer. It's just, didn't you know I'm going to be about my Father's business? Peter speaks, he said, repent. Turn from the way you have been living and live for God. And live for God. We can't continue in our selfishness. We can't continue in our own desires. We can't hold on to that sin that we like. We can't make excuse for it. We've got to change. And we've got to allow God to help us make those changes. But we can't lie to God, because what did the Scripture say? God's not mocked, right? You can't lie to God about the truth of your heart and life. No matter what the rest of us think or don't think, God knows. Now, is it in our nature to try to hide things? From the time we're little kids, right? From the time we're little kids, we try to hide things when we do things we shouldn't do. What about if you make a bad grade? You come in, I got my report card today. But now electronically, as parents, we know when report card day is, right? Because they send you a message. We even get the report card downloaded right to our devices so we can see it. But when you don't have good grades, you try to hide that. You know, and in the old television shows, when they were the handwritten report cards, what would they try to do? Take a D, make it look like a B. You know, you never get by with that, but you try to hide things. I'm going to tell you, we've talked about this before. What did Adam and Eve try to do when they sinned in the garden? Hide from God. So don't think that that's not a natural thing for us to try to hide from God. Now, if I ask you intellectually today, can you hide from God? There's not one of us in this room that say, oh yeah, you can hide from God. We all believe God sees and knows everything. I won't ask you to do this, but if I asked you to raise your hand, how many of us have tried to hide from God? If we're honest, there wouldn't be many hands that didn't go up. And they'd all be young. Right? Repentance is not hiding. It is changing our ways, acknowledging where we are not right, and changing that. Is repentance a one-time event? No. Repentance is not a one-time event. When we come to faith, it needs to be a major event in our life for many of us. But many of us who have grown up in Christian families, when we come to our own faith, our life has not been that far off course. Okay? For some of us, it's been much further off course. And for some of us, it gets off course somewhere later in our lives. But repentance is constantly recalculating our course. Just like the map does on our devices, right? When it says to turn left and you think there's a better way, or you got to go up here and get fuel, or you just missed the turn, what's it immediately do? It starts recalculating route, right? And a lot of times, what does it say? Turn around as soon as you can, right? That's really what repentance is about. When we get off the course, it's about making a turn and coming back. It's about staying on course. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It's about getting on the course and staying there. It's about our direction being toward God. Peter says to that crowd when they say, what must we do? First thing you got to do, they've come to faith, right? Yes, they've come to faith. Is repent. Turn your direction toward God. And continually be saying, I'm heading toward God. I'm not very sophisticated when it comes to spraying or planting. I don't have a GPS yet. But I'm going to get one where I can program that in, and I just sit there and color the little thing in. So what do? I look across the field at a fence post or a tree, and I try to head straight for it, and I try to get one that's however many feet further up, depending on what I'm doing, and go back and forth. And I'll be honest with you, I can do fairly well. But, as I drive across the field, I find that I've got to do some turning because I thought I was heading straight for it, and either I don't see well or I've veered off or something's happened, So there'll be some but I'm constantly having to readjust to get there. And that's really what repentance is all about. It's about readjusting to make sure that we're heading toward the goal, toward the point, and that is righteousness. It is being like God, being holy. We're going to talk about baptism next week, which is really important. I'm going to finish. But I want to share this because it makes repentance so important. How effective was the flu vaccine this year? Oh, yeah, 30%, maybe 10%. I don't know. I don't know how effective it was this year, but it wasn't 100% effective. I got to tell you, baptism is 100% effective at forgiving sins, but it is not an inoculation against sin. It is not, take this and you don't ever worry about sin anymore. And that's what we'd like baptism to be. That's what we would like conversion to be, is I've been baptized, so I'll go shake hands and kiss and hug every sick person because I'm not getting it. Right? And that's never what the Bible says. It's not an inoculation against sin. How are we supposed to treat sin? Like a snake is my, because I'm going to tell you how I treat snakes. I'm staying away from them. Now, like I've showed you before, if he's over there, I'm pretty good if I see him. But if he comes right out of the barn by my head on a rainy day when I'm leaning against the barn under the eave, and they'll do that. All of a sudden, you'll look by the corner of your eye, there'll be a little old snake. And he won't be that big around, and he'll be green or something. He wouldn't hurt you for nothing. But he'll make you hurt yourself. I just stay away from them. I don't care if I got on boots. I don't go tromping through snaky places. So, I got on my snake boots. I'm not taking those chances, right? Well, the same thing's true about sin. It is not something we handle and play with and bring into our bosom. It is not a fire that we bring into our bosom. What must we do? Repent. Turn your ways. Move away from sin. Don't work parallel to it. Don't try to stay just a little bit over from where it was. Go in another direction. Go the other way. Toward God, because I'm going to tell you, as we go toward God, sin is nowhere parallel to us, right? Because in God, God is what? What's above us up here? lights, right? God is light. And in Him, there's only about 30% darkness. Excuse me, it was 25% darkness. Did I have my fractions right? My percentages? My fractions would be 1/4, right? I got you. In Him, there is no darkness at all. So as we move toward God, where is sin? It's in our rearview mirror, right? Because we're moving toward the light where there is no darkness at all. Repentance is not hanging around the edges of sin. It is moving in the other direction. Because here's why. The wages of sin is death. We've got that. But repentance calls us to turn our direction and move from worldly ways to godly ways, right? That's what God's calls us to. We get that? God calls us to be like Him. Because Jesus was like God. Jesus was God in the flesh. So it's turning away from sin, not being close to it, and moving toward God. Don't play games. Because God's not mocked. We're going to reap what we sow. And baptism is not an inoculant from bad seeds. Peter says, repent. Change your direction. If our faith doesn't cause us to change direction and move toward God, we really don't believe it. Or we're not working. And I'm not saying that you can't believe, because there are people who believe. What about the demons? They believe and tremble, don't they? They believe and tremble. I'm not trying to scare you, but we just got to be real honest with ourselves. Because sometimes I see people all the time that will claim faith, but it's apparent in their lives. And I'm not judging. I don't know what happens. It's not my place to. It's apparent in their lives that they have not changed direction. They're still living by the ways of the world. And God has called us to come out from the world and to live in righteousness. What shall we do? What must we do? What can we do? Peter says, repent. Change your direction. Don't live in the ways of the world, but live in the ways of God. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we think, and I get it, that the ways of the world are, there's some pretty good stuff there. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life, not stingily, but that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. Jesus came not only that we might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life after this life is over. Jesus came that we might have life, and in trusting God, we can have it in abundance today and in the world to come. Does that mean we'll be free from troubles? It absolutely does not. But what does David say? In the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table before me, right? And that my cup overflows. The widow that the prophet went to always had meal and always had oil, didn't she? I can't tell you those were great days for them, but she always had what she needed. God will always take care of us. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, Jesus said. What must we do? The first thing after we come to faith is repentance. That we change our direction and not walk in the ways of the world, but the ways of God. If you need to come this morning, do that while we stand and sing.